Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. The title of message today is The Prodigal Father. The Prodigal Father. And here is the word of the Lord. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this privilege to gather and worship. Lord, we are here to worship you, our creator, our father, our friend. Lord, thank you for being all these things in our lives. And this morning I pray for a reminder, Lord, for we constantly forget and we live as if we don't know these things. So remind us this morning in this divine occasion with your servant here on the pulpit. I pray that you remind us of who you are. And Lord, that all of us, wherever we are, whether we are younger sons or elder sons at the moment, that we would run to our prodigal father who would lavish us with your love and your grace. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts this morning be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the title of the message is The Prodigal Father. We've already read the story, and let me tell you a little bit about the painting. And I asked for it this dark, so today's art meditation as well as a sermon. Don't fall asleep, though, okay? This is Rembrandt's Prodigal Son, a famous painting. If this looks familiar for those in youth group and those in the MC these days, Yes, this painting is hanging on my wall in my office at the MC as we speak. It was actually a gift by my old church as we left 2 years ago. They knew how much this meant for me, and so they brought a big plaque. Oh, I'm getting emotional now that I think about it. And it's hanging in my new place of ministry. Let me tell you a little bit about this painting and this book. The Return of the Prodigal Son by Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen is the author of the book. I first read this book a little after I graduated college. I was a young adult. And I thought it was a good book. I put it down for a couple of decades. And I picked it up again more recently, I think more on the second half of my life, if you will, a second mountain maybe. And it spoke to me in a different way and a more impactful way maybe because of my life stage. Well, this book, Henry Nouwen is a well-respected, was a well-respected Catholic priest. And he was serving as professor at a Harvard Divinity School when one day he got a glimpse of this painting in his friend's office. And he was immediately taken aback by this painting. And he describes a very spiritual experience when he saw the Father's face, his hands, resting so lovingly on the shoulders of an almost baby-like boy in rags. And Henry Nouwen describes that experience as an awakening of a deep longing to return home. And this experience would lead him to eventually travel to the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg to sit in front of the original painting for days, writing down his thoughts in what would become this book. And by the way, highly recommend you picking up that book. And this book would ultimately cause him to leave Harvard and spend the rest of his life as a father to the people with intellectual disabilities at Lars Stabæk Community in Canada. And the first question that Nouwen asked himself in front of this picture, this painting, was this: am I a participant in this drama before me, or am I a spectator? And for Nouwen, he felt that at that time in his life, being a professor at Harvard, for him was being a spectator. And for him, the journey was to leave that place and go work the rest of his life with people with disabilities. And the question for us maybe this morning as we're confronted by this painting, be a clearer one here. Am I a participant in this drama? Or am I a spectator? Am I simply watching the father and son's embrace like the two characters that are in the far background? There's a character in the far right, left, upper corner. You can't really see here. They're just kind of there in the far background. There's a man sitting, looking kind of indifferent with a blank look on his face. And then, yes, there's presumably the older brother on the right, resentful, standing off to the side. And Nouwen in his book argues that we are every character in this story. We are all the younger son. We are all the elder son. And if we are in Christ, then we are all called to become the Father. And in this story is the entire gospel. In this story is all of our lives. And in this story is your journey and mine. We'll look at the three characters in this story. The younger son. The younger son's rebellion was this. He leaves home and gets lost in addictions. The younger son leaves home and gets lost in addictions. Verse 12. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. The younger son asked for his share of the estate from his living father. And author Kenneth Bailey writes regarding this request, "For over 15 years, I have been asking people of all walks of life, from Morocco to India, from Turkey to Sudan, about the implications of a son's request for his inheritance while the father is still living. The answer has always been emphatically the same. The conversation runs as follows. Has anyone ever made such a request in your village? Impossible. If anyone did, what would happen? His father would beat him on the head, of course. Why? Because the request means that he wants his father to die." And yet in this story, the father amazingly agrees and gives in to the younger son's demands. The younger son then squanders all his money in a distant country. Then a famine causes him to find work feeding pigs, and he becomes so hungry that the pig pods begin to look delicious. But the younger son eventually comes to his senses. Verse 17, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands.' So he got up and went to his father." The younger son's rebellion is leaving home and getting lost in his addictions. Desire marks the younger son. And our rebellion as the younger son is driven by our desires, our lusts, our addictions. The addicted life can aptly be described as a life lived in the distant country. But for us, this is not a one-time rebellion. As a younger son, as the younger son in this story, we leave home whenever we forget the Father's unconditional love for us and seek out other sources for that same love. We end up seeking love in all the wrong places when we are away from home. And in the end, we end up in rags. The younger son's rebellion reflects Adam's original rebellion. Yet the Father loves him so much that he is left free to leave home. And here is unconditional love, the freedom that the Father bestows upon the Son to choose to leave, all the while knowing the pain it will cause them both. I want to zoom in on the younger son and the Rembrandt's interpretation of this story told by Jesus. Look more closely at this painting. The younger son's head is shaven, reflecting his loss of individual identity. Whether in the army or in prison or a concentration camp, the shaving of the head says you are no longer an individual. In contrast to the father's and elder brother's red robes, denoting wealth and prestige, the younger son is dressed in uneven rags and is disheveled. One of his sandals is falling off due to the long journey of returning from the distant country. But notice, there's one item that is still on him, clutched to his right side. You see it? It's his sword. His sword. Now, this detail is not in Jesus' original story. It came out of Rembrandt's interpretive imagination. But this is Nouwen's interpretation of that sword that is clearly clutched to the son's right. His sword that was probably once given to him as a symbol of his true identity, of his sonship. Even in his prepared speech for his father, the younger son says, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son," which means he remembered who he was, whose he was, even while in the distant country. And so, even as he longs to eat the pig pods, he clings to that sword, the symbol of identity and sonship, and eventually, he returns home. So So how about us? How about us this morning? How many of us have left home for a distant country? Remember, we leave home whenever we forget the Father's unconditional love for us and seek out that same love from other sources. What desires, what lusts, what addictions are pulling you away from home towards that distant country? Alas, I am the younger son. I am the younger son. I leave home all the time, lost in my desires and my addictions. Among other desires, I am addicted to the sinful desire to be liked at all costs, to be well regarded in the eyes of many, if not all, to make certain that I'm not disliked by anyone at whatever cost. And I leave home every time I seek out people's approval over my Father's unconditional approval, when I seek to be accepted in people's eyes over my Father's loving, tender, compassionate eyes. Alas, I am the younger son. How about you this morning? Going on in our story, the elder son. The elder son's rebellion is this. He stays home, but gets lost in resentment. The elder son stays home, but he gets lost in resentment. The elder son in our story did not even know his younger brother had come home. Because why? He was dutifully and obediently working the fields. When upon his return home, he hears the sounds of a party. And at that moment, he hears the party and is given full opportunity to join that party, welcoming his long-lost brother home. But the story says he instantly got angry. Verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. And the elder son also had a prepared speech for his father, verse 29. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." And here we see that the elder son is also lost, alone in his resentment, unable to enjoy fellowship with his father and his brother. The older son may have stayed home physically, but he was lost in resentment. Duty and obedience marks the elder son, still at home, but lost in judgment and condemnation, anger, resentment, bitterness, and jealousy. The hardest conversion to go through, actually, I think, is the conversion of the one who stayed home. Henry Nouwen has some pointed questions in his book. I wonder what ultimately does more damage, lust or resentment? I wonder if it is not resentment in the long run. There is so much frozen anger among the people who are so concerned about avoiding sin. These are very serious and heavy people, bordering on fanaticism, full of self-pity and without joy. Joy and resentment cannot coexist. This can be seen in the portrayal of the elder son in the painting by Rembrandt. We'll zoom in a little bit. In contrast to the posture of the bent-over father, he stands stiff, erect, portraying a proud self-righteousness. In contrast to the lit face of the father, which is warm and compassionate, his face is also lit, but it is cold, judgmental. In contrast, the hands of the Father stretched out in firm and loving embrace. His hands are firmly clasped together, unmerciful. The elder son may not have left home, but he has become a foreigner in his own house. He cannot understand his father's love. He does not consider this man to be his brother anymore. True communion is gone. Every relationship has been pervaded by the darkness of resentment. And sadly, in the story and in the painting, we don't know what happens to the elder son. The story ends by the father inviting him in, giving him the talk. We don't have a picture of him coming home like the younger son. What we do see in the story is the father wanting both sons to come home. The father does not compare the two sons. The father loves both sons equally. And so, as the elder son, we must let go of all comparison and resentment. We must surrender to our father's great love for us as the wayward elder son. And what about us this morning? Are some of us here dutifully sitting in church, watching online, but our hearts are filled with resentment and anger, judgment and condemnation, bitterness and jealousy? Are there some of us here angry and resentful at God for some reason, and you have not taken it to Him? Jesus asks a very pointed question at the end of the parable of the laborers in the vineyard in Matthew 20:15. He asks, "Are you envious because I am generous?" Alas, I am the elder son. I may have stayed home physically, but sometimes I'm lost in comparisons and jealousy and, yes, resentments. As a pastor, how I would love to say that I've always strived to serve my church over the past decades with a contented and grateful heart. But too many times I've been lost in unhelpful comparisons with others in ministry, which is always poison. I see their supposed successes and had me wallowing in discouragement and, yes, resentment. "But God, I do so much for you," was my secret complaint far too many times. Yes, I am the elder son. How about you this morning? There's one more character in our story. The prodigal father runs to both sons and offers embrace. The prodigal father runs to both sons and offers embrace. Of course, he ran to the younger son, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. As you know, in the Middle East, it was considered humiliating for a man over 40 to run. As the father ran, he would have had to lift his robe, another humiliation. As the father drew near, the son did not see anger, but he saw joy. And when the father reached him, it's right there, he threw his arms around him in embrace and kissed him again and again. In experiencing this father's visible, costly love for him, the younger son's prepared speech melts away. And all that is left is the feeling that he is not worthy to be his father's son. The grace is too overwhelming. The father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. The father restores the son, showering him with the best robe, providing new shoes for his feet, for his old ones had worn off, placing a ring on his finger, signifying his belonging and sonship. The son has come home. And we see this compassion all over the father's face in this painting. His old and worn out face looks almost blind. But it is full of compassion. His wide red robe now seems to somehow cover his son also. His posture is bent over to embrace his son with his hands gently resting on his shoulders. This nearly blind old man sees the true lostness and suffering of his son who was away from home, and his only desire in this moment is to bless. The most striking feature of this painting are the father's hands. All eyes in the painting are on the father's hands. If you look carefully at both hands, you'll see a stark contrast. His left hand is distinctly masculine, fatherly, and strong. But his right hand is distinctly feminine, motherly, and warm. With one hand, he holds up and affirms who we are. With the other, he caresses us, bandages our wounds. In fact, the shaved head of the son leaning against the father's stomach, the scene seems to depict God as mother receiving back into her womb the baby made in her own image. After all, our God is both father and mother. As for the elder son, the father runs to him too. This is not depicted in the painting, but it is clear in the story. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out. The father runs twice in this story, not once. He runs out to his older son, the rebellious older son, and he pleads with him. And hear these words of love of the father towards his rebellious elder son. My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. And here we see the true prodigal in this story is not either of the sons, but it is the father. Of course, the word prodigal means profuse, wasteful expenditure, lavishness, recklessness. And so the true prodigal is the father. Our prodigal father continually waits and longs for both sons to come home. Our prodigal father runs to both rebellious sons, offering unconditional love and embrace. In short, God's attitude towards us, his rebellious children, is profuse, lavish, reckless, crazy love. He is our prodigal father. One final insight from Henry Nouwen's book, which you should read. Jesus is the true prodigal son of the true prodigal father, minus the rebellion. Jesus became the younger son for us. He left his home, came to a foreign country, gave away all that he had, and returned home through the cross. All this he did not as a rebellious son, but as an obedient son, sent out to bring home all the lost children of God. Jesus is also the true elder son of the compassionate Father minus the resentment. The words of the Father apply perfectly to Jesus. My son, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, sent by the Father to liberate us from all our resentments. So how about us this morning? How about us? Wherever we are on the younger son, elder son spectrum, I believe it is a spectrum in all of our lives, do we know this compassionate, prodigal Father God this morning? Are you willing to turn back from wherever you are, back to him and come home? If so, he will run to you. He will embrace you again with his unconditional love and embrace. Remember, we are all the younger son. We are all the elder son. And if we are in Christ, then all of us are called to become like the Father. Becoming the Father is the final stage of the spiritual life, according to Nouwen. To so fully let go of all fear of the Father that it becomes possible to be like him. Though I am both the younger and elder sons, I am not to remain there. I am to become the Father. Henry Nouwen wrote this book at an older age in his own life. In the book, he struggles and wrestles with this reality. The reality that he cannot simply remain the two sons any longer, but must begin to identify more and more with the aged, decrepit, blind father. And it's a battle within him to become that as a father to intellectually disabled people. Especially as a Catholic priest. Literally, people will call him father. And this is the part of Henry Nouwen's journey that took him from Harvard to Daybreak when he realized he needed to live into that. He says, the time has come to claim my true vocation, to be a father who can welcome his children home without asking them any questions, without wanting anything from them in return. These people don't need me to be a good friend or even a kind brother. They need me to be a father who can claim for himself the authority of true compassion. So yes, I am the younger son. I am the elder son. But I say this with great hope and spiritual certainty. I am in the process of becoming more and more like the Father. There, I said it, so I have to live into it now. For me, 2 years ago, when I left our previous church, decision was very, very difficult, and it was a big decision that I made. God led me out of decades of predominantly youth and young adult ministry. You know, a Korean church youth pastor and then EM pastor. And for me, the call was to grow up a little, leave my comfort zone. Youth retreats and hanging out with college students, which I love to get to do here too, by the way. But that was my comfort zone for so long, and he was calling me out to grow up. And he called me out to learn to minister to adults as an adult, which is out of my comfort zone. Because adults have adult-sized problems. We have money issues, we have family issues, all of us have marriage issues. And these things are heavy stuff. I'd rather just go bowling with our college students. But the call was for me to go out and try to be not just an older brother, and not just a friend, but try to be a father to hurting and broken adults, leading them to the Father who continues to call them home. And this is the journey that God laid before me 2 years ago. And this is the journey that I am on. How about you this morning? How about you? Can you say this morning that you are on a journey of becoming more and more like the Father in this story? Not in the least to our own children. Yeah, a lot of parents in this room. Do our own children, as they grow older, see us not simply as their biological mother and father, but do they see us as spiritual mother and father? And in all the ways that you interact with people that are broken and hurting around you, do you have the authority of true compassion for them to approach you in their pain so you can welcome them home to a loving Heavenly Father? I pray that this is so. So brothers and sisters, this is our story. This is the gospel in a story, the gospel in a painting. The younger son leaves home and gets lost in addictions. The elder son stays home but gets lost in resentment. The prodigal father runs to both sons and offers embrace. I pray this morning that everyone at the hearing of my voice would know the profuse, lavish, crazy, wasteful, reckless love of our prodigal father. And as we perpetually return home from our rebellions as the two sons, may we enter the process of becoming more and more like the Father for the sake of those around us. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Close your eyes. Just give you a moment to reflect on that word, on that story, on that painting that you saw. We are all the younger son. We leave home, get addicted to our desires. We are all the elder son. Sometimes we stay home, but we get lost in resentments. But there is a prodigal father who runs to both sons, offers embrace to both rebellious sons. May we run to the Father whenever we are far from him, but also let us all become the Father. Become more like Christ each day so that hurting and broken people would find us welcoming. Father, thank you for your unconditional, profuse, lavish, crazy, reckless love for us. It's not just songs that we sing. It is the truth that we believe and we are reminded of this morning. Thank you that in our rebellion, we were not cast away. Lord, you came after us. You showed us Christ and his salvation so that we might be saved. And then, Lord, even then, after we are saved, when we run, when we try to run away, Lord, you bring us back. Lord, because you are always running after us, coming after us. Thank you for your unrelenting love for us. God, I pray where all the messages we hear these days are of conditional acceptance or falling out of love somehow, Lord, we pray that you would just ingrain in our hearts and our lives and our minds, even when we commit that sin again, Lord, that your love does not change, that it still pursues us, and yes, that we can run back to you. We can come home. So I pray all those who need to come home at this moment will come home to you. We'll run to you again and again and again and again as we will sing. And Lord, I pray a special blessing for us who have been on this journey for a while. Lord, I pray as we read this familiar story again and again in our lives that we would not be stuck identifying just with the brothers. God, I pray the blessing of us living into mature discipleship, of becoming more like the Father, not more knowledgeable, not more experienced even, but more loving, compassionate, welcoming of others, especially those who are hurting all around us. Lord, I pray that blessing for us, that we would mature as believers in Christ. Lord, we thank you for this word and this reminder. Receive our worship now. In Jesus' name, we pray.